1964, Regulation 71. Result of the election of December the 7th, 1964. A, number of votes cast for each list of candidates. People's Progressive Party, 109,332 votes. People's National Congress, 96,657 votes. United Force, 29,612 votes.
Lyndon called Samson Burnham, being appointed Premier, do swear that I will, to the best of my judgment, at all times when so required, freely give my counsel and advice to the Governor or any other person for the time being lawfully performing the functions of that office, for the good management of the public affairs of British Guiana, and I do further swear that I will not in any account, at any time whatsoever, disclose the counsel, advice, opinion, or vote of any particular minister or parliamentary secretary, and that I will not, except to the authority of the Council of Ministers, and to such extent as may be required for the good management of the affairs of British Guiana, directly or indirectly, reveal the business or proceedings of the Council of Ministers, or the nature or contents of any documents communicated to me as Premier, or any matter coming to my knowledge in my capacity as such, and that in all things I will be a true and faithful Premier. So help me God.
I, Ptolemy Alexander Reed, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, her heirs and successors, according to law. So help me God.
I, Neville James Bessemer, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty.
I, Peter Stanislaus de Gaulle, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
I, Winifred Gaskin, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
The election is now over. A hard and at times bitter campaign has come to an end. On the results, the People's National Congress, in the interests of peace and stability in Guiana, has agreed with the support of the United Force to form the government. One of the more serious tasks facing us at this moment is the attainment of independence at the earliest point of time. One of the disturbing features of the election, which we have noted, is the apparent cleavage existing in our society, brought about by colonialism and 7 years of mismanagement and misrule. It has come to our knowledge that despite the years of disaster suffered by the people of this country, a large section of the electorate was persuaded against its best interests to vote for the party formerly in power as a result of the dishonest and opportunist propaganda that, unless that party was returned to power, those people would suffer. The new government, headed by me, intends to show by its actions in the immediate future, and indeed throughout its term of office, that this is not true. The problem of racial cleavage, racial antagonism, and distrust which the last government allowed to develop during its term of office is still with us. But our government recognizes this as a challenge which it intends to accept and which it is determined to overcome. My government considers that it is a matter of the greatest importance and the utmost urgency that an atmosphere of relaxation be established immediately. Of tension, which is already apparent, and which will become more pronounced with every passing day, when it is realized that not only are we intent on being fair and just, but also that we have at our disposal the means to carry out our intention, is merely the first fruits of our attainment of office. Enemies of this country would like to see racial division and antagonism continue. They will not have that satisfaction. The government recognizes that its duty is to rule in the interests of all the people of this country. It will dispel the fears of the apprehensive and confound the hopes of those who seek the destruction of this country. To be specific, this government holds that all the people of this country are equally important, whether they belong to a large group or to a small group. To us, the Amerindians are important. To us, the Chinese are important. To us, the Portuguese are important. To us, the Europeans are important. To us, the mixed races are important. To us, the Africans are important. To us, the Indians are important. In short, all Guyanese are important and valued members of our community, and we cherish them and consider that as a government, it is our duty and privilege to guard, protect, and further the real interests of all. It would appear that the would-be destroyers of this country have sought to convince our Indian citizens that they have cause to fear because of the removal of the former government. We can assure our Indian citizens here and now that rather than cause for fear, they have much to hope for from the new government. This government is not bent on the confiscation of property. This government will not pursue policies likely to bring the races into collision. This government will maintain law and order. This government, while in office, will never declare its impotence to see that the lives and property and personal safety of any citizens are protected. We are fully aware that attempts will be made in the future, as in the past, to create disturbances. All of us know who are likely to create disturbances and who think that they have some benefit to be derived from chaos and violence. We have no benefit to derive from such things, and we will stamp out firmly and ruthlessly any disruption of the calm and studied and steady progress which we are determined to establish and maintain in this country for the good of all. We ask for time, patience, understanding. The damage done over the last 7 years cannot be repaired in a day. We cannot and will not condone and accept the nepotism and corruption of the past 7 years. Changes are necessary, and changes will be made. But no one who is honest and possessed of ability need have the least apprehension. The results of the election and the formation of our government are not to be considered a victory for one party, but a triumph for the whole Guyanese people. There is nothing to gloat over. Nobody is Pantap. But all of us are, I am sure, sobered by the realization of how near we came to having our country destroyed, and how arduous were our endeavors to give this country the chance to live, to breathe, to survive. It has been reported to me that some established organizations have made representations to the British government about Guyanese affairs. I wish to announce that in the immediate future, I shall seek to hold discussions with the Mahasabha, the Hindu organization, the United Sadr Islamic Anjuman, ASKRIA, GAIL, the Chinese Association, and of course with the Archbishop of the West Indies, the Roman Catholic Bishop of Georgetown, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, the Congregational Conference, the Methodist Body, and other religious and cultural organizations. My purpose as Premier is to establish a consultative democracy. And now that the majority of the Guyanese electorate has declared in favor of the government in power, it is my wish that Guyanese in and out of the legislature, with malice towards none and goodwill towards all, will settle down to the engaging task of binding up the nation's wounds and charting a new course, a new road of peace and prosperity for Guyana. My government and I have the highest regard for the press in general and are convinced that there are few institutions more important to a country like ours than a responsible press, self-regulating, free to criticize, free to commend, and give leadership in public opinion molding. A democratic government has much for which to be indebted to such a press, which can keep the government on its toes and bring to the latter's attention the attitudes, the needs, and aspirations of various sections of the community.
I remember very well, I started my civil service career in the customs. I see one of my colleagues here who joined about a month or two before me, Mr. Frankie Rosa. And then, of course, ours was the princely salary of $23 per month, on which I survived. And I thought that from that time I thought if I was ever in the position, I would attempt to do something for these hard-working employees whose services were not always properly remunerated and whose sacrifices and hard work were not always appreciated. And you appreciate, I'm sure, that there are certain difficulties facing my government at the moment. But I want to assure you, before I get down to criticizing you, and it is my right to criticize you because I am one of you, having been a civil servant. It is my right to criticize you because I am one of you, still being a trade unionist. It is my right to criticize you, being one of you, being a Guyanese, who wants to get this country on its feet and to usher in a new era of constitutional change and economic progress. I know many of your difficulties, and I want, before we get any further, to announce this evening that this government will immediately implement the Guillebeau proposals for the civil service of this country. So now that we are over and done with that, now that you are beginning to look forward to the date from which it will be operative, now that you're looking forward to the necessity that there may be to adjust, not imbalances, but anomalies, I want to assure you that in any future discussions which you may have with my government, you will find a sympathetic government, not necessarily a government that is willing to give you all that you ask for and more, but a government that views with sympathy your just claims for better remuneration and conditions of work. I'm speaking to you this evening, not so much as Prime Minister of Guyana, but more as a Guyanese who wants to see Guyanese cooperating together for the advancement of our country. Or you may put it another way. Here is one trade unionist speaking to other trade unionists in the hope that there may be some common ground, in the hope that we may be able to find some formula for bringing about the improvement which some of us so fondly dream of, but so few of us work for. I do think that we civil servants ought to recognize that we are, in fact, fighting a war. We are fighting a war against low standards, We are fighting a war against poverty. We are fighting a war so as to bring development to our country. And all this red tapeism, all this sloth, which is still found in some sections of the civil service, is certainly not the type of material with which we can hope to win this war. Ladies and gentlemen, if we were to lose this war, who will suffer? Not the British. The British are getting out whether we want it or not. Those fanciful dreamers who imagine that Britain is particularly interested in protecting and guarding us and keeping troops standing by for occasions of necessity are in fact nothing more than fanciful dreamers. So if we do not get the type of materials to win the war, if we do not find ourselves capable of taking decisions, if we do not get rid of sloth, if we do not get rid of the attitude, well, let me do a fast one here, let me get some extra time here, if we do not get rid of that, we are going to be the losers.